Section 3. Coordination among workers. To counsel, as equals. As brethren located where you must be more or less connected, you must draw closer together in your counsels, in your association, in spirit, and in all your works. One man among you is not to be made the counselor for all. Each one is to stand in his lot and in his place, doing his work. Every individual among you must, before God, do a work for these last days that is great and sacred and grand. Everyone must bear his weight of responsibility. The Lord is preparing each one to do his appointed work, and each one is to be respected and honored as a brother chosen of God and precious in his sight. One man is not to be selected to whom all plans and methods shall be confided, while the others are left out. If this is done, errors will be made, wrong moves will be taken, harm rather than good will be done. No one of you needs to be afraid of the other lest the other shall have the highest place. Without partiality and without hypocrisy, each is to be treated. The same line of work is not to be given to each worker, and for this reason you need to counsel together in that freedom and confidence that should exist among the Lord's workmen. All need to have less confidence in self and far greater confidence in the one who is mighty in counsel, who knoweth the end from the beginning. When you respect each other, you will respect Jesus Christ. You are to show no preferences, for the Lord does not show preferences to his chosen ones. He says, "I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." This is the confidence that the Lord would have you cherish in each other. One person must not suppose that his wisdom is beyond making any mistake. God would have the greatest cherish that humility that will lead him to be the servant of all, if duty thus orders. But while you are to love as brethren, and think soul to soul, heart to heart, life to life, you are individually to lean your whole weight on God. He will be your support. He is not pleased when you depend on each other for light and wisdom and direction. The Lord must be our wisdom. Individually, we must know that He is our sanctification and our redemption. To Him we may look. In Him we may trust. He will be to us a present help in every time of need. Whatever your duties in the various lines of work may be, remember that God is the general over all. You must not withdraw from Him to make flesh your arm. You have been too much inclined to measure yourselves among yourselves and compare yourselves one with another, estimating the importance of your work. Will you remember that your comparisons may fall wide of the mark? It is not position or rank by which the Lord estimates. He looks to see how much of the spirit of the Master you cherish and how much of the likeness of Christ your work reveals. Give the workers freedom. To all our ministers, I would say, encourage your brethren to connect with you in your labors. All the gifts and talents of the church are to be set to work. Let all desire on the part of any to have a controlling power be put away. There has been danger with some of marking out exactly what this or that man should do. Let the Lord do this work and guide his own servants. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Give the Lord room to work human minds. Give the workers abundant freedom to work out the plans of God in harmony with their brethren. This will save much overwork for the few. Let the strong traits of character that would lead to the control of others be subdued by the grace of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Unity and freedom in council meetings. When ministering brethren come together in council, let deference be shown to the expression of intelligent principles. Let intellectual freedom be freely accorded to all. There should be unity and love and freedom in communicating one with another. It should be a pleasure to consult one with another, to compare ideas and to review plans. An atmosphere of goodness, confidence, and love should be diffused, for this is the assurance of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God should be felt, and the soul should be humbled in acknowledging the condescension of God in planning for every soul for whom Christ has died. And thus, hearts would be softened and broken.
Link up with your brethren, if you would have them link up with you, and give you their confidence. Confidence and faith will beget confidence and faith. You should gather into your confidence not only your ministering brethren, but those with whom you are brought in contact, and show them that you have confidence, and that you believe that they are taught of God as much as you yourself are taught of God. Open your plans before them. One will be free to speak, and another will be free to speak, and they may call your attention to some things that you had not thought of before. God does not open everything to one mind, but he teaches one, and another, and still another. Men are to stand in God, and without having the fear of criticism before them, they are to speak as God shall give them utterance, and to write as God shall dictate. After they have written their thoughts, let them be free to read their articles to their brethren, and let them receive any kindly word or caution that the brethren may see fit to offer, in the spirit of brotherly kindness and love. The cautions which God has given are to be regarded. Christ has said concerning his disciples, "All ye are brethren." Every one is to give an account of himself to God. Do not lay down any specified rules, or prescribe any details as to how God's agents shall do their work. The teacher said, "While you are so earnest to call to mind the details, the time that is of so great value has been consumed, and the minds of the workers have been called to dwell upon non-essentials, which should have been left for workers in the field to plan for themselves. Many things that are too important to be set aside have been lightly dwelt upon, and many things that are of little consequence have been largely dwelt upon, when there is no reason why men should dictate concerning the matters they have laid out in detail." Remembering one's own mistakes. Let no one be sharp and dictatorial in his dealing with God's workers. Let those who are inclined to censure remember that they have made mistakes as grievous as those they condemn in others. Let them bow in contrition before God, asking his pardon for the sharp speeches they have made and the unguarded spirit they have revealed. Remember that God hears every word you speak, and that as you judge, you will be judged. Christ is pleading the case of every tempted soul, but while he is doing this, many of his people are grieving him by taking their stand with Satan to accuse their brethren, pointing to their polluted garments. Let not the criticized ones become discouraged, for while their brethren are condemning them, Christ is saying of them, "I have graven them upon the palms of my hands. By creation and redemption, they are mine." Acting in Christ's stead. I wish to speak to my brethren who occupy positions of trust. As God's husbandry, you are invested with the responsibility of acting in his stead, as his helping hand. Those who are placed in positions of trust must have the authority of action, but they are never to use this authority as a power to refuse help to the needy and helpless. It is never to be exercised to discourage or depress one struggling soul. Let those to whom have been given positions of influence ever remember that God desires them to carry out the mind of Christ, who, by creation and redemption, is the owner of all men. Patience under condemnation. To every man God has given a work to do. This is a solemn thought. Some will be regarded with suspicion by men who cannot discern spiritual things. Criticism will be freely given. But shall this stir up the passion of the human heart? Or will the voice of God's workman be heard in song? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The work of the very best of God's laborers will often be commented upon by men who have not a genuine experience in what it means to hide in Christ. Condemnation will be passed upon those who may be trying to do their work faithfully. Then is the time for God's workers to show their gentleness, to hide in the cleft of the rock. God's voice says to them, "Be still and know that I am God." Pointing out duty in a compulsory way. We are God's property. In Jesus Christ, we are to behold a pattern of what we should be. Every soul should be educated to look not to his fellow men, but unto Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let no man think it his place to point out to others in a compulsory manner their duty. This God forbids. All are to be guided in the path of duty by the plain word of God. Satan fiercely assails responsible men. No man is so high in power and authority but that Satan will assail him with temptation. And the more responsible the position a man occupies, the fiercer and more determined are the assaults of the enemy. Let God's servants in every place study his word, looking constantly to Jesus, that they may be changed into his image. The inexhaustible fullness and the all-sufficiency of Christ are at our command if we walk before God in humility and contrition. To invent new plans. The cause of God today needs men who will first commune with God to learn their duty, and will then go forth to do what he commands, irrespective of the bribes or threats of those who would bear rule over them. Men are needed who are guided by the Lord, and whom God qualifies to give to the people a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." Men are needed who pray to God for wisdom, and who, under the guidance of God, can put new life into the old methods of labor, and can invent new plans and new methods of awakening the interest of church members and reaching the men and women of the world. Misinterpretation of responsibility. Self-esteem and self-exaltation are prevailing evils, and because of this, there is manifest a spirit of criticism where no such thing should exist. And some who realize the responsibilities resting upon them, and who would go forth with the message of warning, are prevented by the forbiddings of those who feel that it is their prerogative to control the actions of their fellow workers. Thus, Satan is working to close the lips of some to whom God has given his message to the world, and if possible, he will continue his working until souls who are convinced of the truth for this time, seeing the inconsistencies of those who profess to believe it, turn away and are lost. Tremendous responsibilities are ours, and men are called for who will not misinterpret their responsibilities, but will do their appointed work in a spirit of humility and in the fear of God. We should ever be afraid of a spirit that would lead us to place restrictions on the work of others, lest we hinder the advance of the message of truth. Those who have in the past allowed such a spirit to control them have sadly hurt the work. They need to repent and be converted, for the Holy Spirit cannot work with them while they refuse to acknowledge his counsel and control. He cannot use the men who employ the trust he has imposed upon them as an oppressive power to close the lips that he has opened. Christ's presence means advance. Let us strive with earnestness for the victory over sin. Let us be determined not to give place to the enemy by criticizing, by picking flaws, by demeriting others, and seeking to be first. Let us study the prayer made in our behalf and work for its fulfillment. Let us keep our eyes fixed upon the perfect pattern. The only way to avoid dissension and strife is to behold him who came to this world to save sinners. It is for this object that his followers are to work. They are to yoke up with the Savior, learning of him his meekness and lowliness. He says to us, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. How then can there be dissension and strife among us? If we live as in Christ's presence, there will be no contention. There will be no hesitancy about introducing new plans of action, as the Holy Spirit may move upon someone to suggest them. Christ's presence means advance. He imbues men, women, and children with a sense of individual responsibility. We need to feel the sacred, sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit, that we may hear Christ saying to us, "Follow me." "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. There are many who stand with a stone in their hand, waiting to place it before the wheel. But the Holy Spirit can so convert these hindering ones that they will be prepared to place the stone behind the wheel so that it will not roll back. Let us each seek to be ready to place the stone in the proper position. Respect for humble workers. There are many who will spend and be spent to win souls to Christ. In obedience to the Great Commission, they will go forth to work for the Master. Under the ministration of angels, ordinary men will be moved by the Spirit of God to warn people in the highways and byways. Humble men, who do not trust in their gifts, but who work in simplicity, trusting always in God, will share in the joy of the Savior as their persevering prayers bring souls to the cross.
We should say to them, "Go forth, brethren. Do your best, humbly and sincerely, and God will work with you." They should be strengthened and encouraged, and as fast as possible fitted for labor, that success may crown their efforts. They harmonize with unseen, heavenly instrumentalities. They are workers together with God, and their brethren should bid them Godspeed and pray for them as they labor in Christ's name. No one is authorized to hinder such workers. They should be treated with great respect. No one should speak a disparaging word of them, as in the rough places of the earth they sow the gospel seed. Christ will be with these humble workers. The angels of heaven will cooperate with them in their self-sacrificing efforts. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will move upon hearts. God will work miracles in the conversion of sinners. Men and women will be gathered into church fellowship. Meeting houses will be built and institutions of learning established. These workers are trees of the Lord's planting. In a peculiar sense, they bear fruit equal to the fruit borne by the apostles. They receive a reward in this life, and a glorious reward awaits them in the future life. Recognition of a brother's gift. The positions and offices of those in God's work are appointed by Christ. All our talents are His gifts. Let us not disappoint the Lord by an improper use of the talents entrusted to us. Let us not fail to recognize the position and capabilities God gives to another. Be not envious or suspicious as your brother uses his gifts to do something for the honor of God. In no case should we demerit the gift and work God has given another. Every work brought into judgment. Let everyone who professes the name of Christ consider the fact that he must meet every act of injustice, give an account for every harsh word at the judgment seat of Christ. It will not be pleasant to review the words that have been spoken that have wounded and bruised souls, to review the decisions that have worked against souls for whom Christ died. Every action will come into judgment, and the spirit that prompted it will be made manifest. The fruit of every selfish, arbitrary exaction will be made plain, and men will see the results of their doings even as God sees them. They will see that they have turned precious souls out of the right path by dealing with them in an unchristlike manner. We are living in the great day of atonement, and it is now time that everyone should repent before God, confess his sins, and by living faith, rest upon the merit of a crucified and living Savior. My brethren and sisters, will you bear in mind that in dealing with God's heritage, you are not to act out your natural characteristics? The people of God are Christ's purchased possession, and what a price he has paid for them. Shall any of us be found aiding the enemy of God and man in discouraging and destroying souls? What will be the retribution brought upon us if we do this class of work? Every one of us should weed out of our conversation everything that is harsh and severe. We should not indulge in condemning others, and we will not do so if we are one with Christ. We are to represent Christ in our dealings with our fellow men. May 7, 1895. Public exposure of a worker's mistakes. We are to direct the weapons of our warfare against our foes, but never turn them toward those who are under marching orders from the King of Kings, who are fighting manfully the battles of the Lord of Lords. Let no one aim at a soldier whom God recognizes, whom God has sent forth to bear a special message to the world and to do a special work. The soldiers of Christ may not always reveal perfection in their step, but their mistakes should call out from their fellow comrades not words that will weaken, but words that will strengthen and will help them to recover their lost ground. They should not turn the glory of God into dishonor and give an advantage to the bitterest foes of their king. Let not fellow soldiers be severe, unreasonable judges of their comrades, and make the most of every defect. Let them not manifest satanic attributes in becoming accusers of the brethren. We shall find ourselves misrepresented and falsified by the world, while we are maintaining the truth and vindicating God's downtrodden law. But let no one dishonor the cause of God by making public some mistake that the soldiers of Christ may make, when that mistake is seen and corrected by the ones who have taken some false position. God will charge those who unwisely expose the mistakes of their brethren with sin, of far greater magnitude than he will charge the one who makes a misstep. Criticism and condemnation of the brethren are counted as criticism and condemnation of Christ. Unjust charges.
In our work, there is to be no lording it over those with whom we are connected. No sharp, dictatorial words are to be spoken. These are entirely uncalled for. Do not treat the workers as if you could not trust them. Never treat those with whom you work as unfaithful, unless you have unmistakable evidence that they are unfaithful. And even when a worker's unfaithfulness is clearly proved, you are not to deal with him in a manner that will give him excuse for saying, "You are harsh." You are to do nothing that will provoke the erring to anger. Do not bear down on believers or unbelievers in a way that arouses the worst feelings of the heart. Do not make charges that may be cruelly unjust. By such a course, you may drive souls to perdition. Measuring out hard judgment. There is too much selfish love among us. If there is a brother who encourages all we do and suggests as right, then we esteem that brother above others. If there is another whom we imagine does not look with favor on our way of doing things, we withdraw from that one and seek to demerit his work. The Holy Spirit is grieved with such a selfish religion as this, and unless it is realized and put away, a spirit of prejudice and alienation will mar the work of God. God is dishonored when his people do not love as brethren, when the pattern is not correctly represented. We are not all required to do exactly alike in the work. Each has his individual work to do. Spiritual life will lead to unity. We are in the world for work, earnest spiritual work. But one man is not given the same sort that is given to another. If a worker does not follow the plan of work that another thinks is right, this should not cause difference and alienation. The manner of accomplishing the work may not be precisely the way in which another would do it, but if the labor is conscientiously performed, God accepts the effort. God asks for the performance of good works, and the results of the efforts made will testify to the virtue of the worker. By their fruits ye shall know them. In many cases, hard judgment has been measured out when encouragement and commendation should have been given. For the results of the work done have shown that the blessing of God was upon it. Wherever this principle has been brought in, God wants a change to be made, for it is contrary to his plan. When man's mind is allowed to become the controlling power, both parties are injured. The one who allows himself to be conscience for another, and the one who permits himself to be controlled by human wisdom. As workers, we need to counsel together over difficult matters. It is right that brother should consult with brother, and it is our privilege, after we have done this, to bow together in prayer and ask for divine wisdom and counsel. But for one human voice to be a controlling power is a sad mistake, and this should not continue.